Isn't it great? Hear all the gifts gotten preached to already. Ministered to in the worship. We're good. We just go home, right? It's like, seriously. Hey, well, thanks. I'm glad to be here and having the opportunity to share. What a great summer we're having here at Life Center. If you've been traveling in and out, great, wonderful. We're glad you're back. And if you're visiting with us, we're really glad you're here today. So Wednesday evening summer, like John talked about, our summer encounter series have been wonderful. We've called it encounter series on purpose because we've been lingering in worship. We've had extended worship times. If you haven't been with us on a Wednesday, I encourage you to come. We've got guests the rest of the month and just excited about what God's doing. We said, hey, let's make a bigger space for ministry and worship. It's up almost an hour long and it's awesome. And our Sundays have never been better, man. 2 weeks ago, John, excellent word, my brother, just taking notes. And Charles last week, how fun hearing Charles when he got a little, trauma there, right? It was awesome. He's up here preaching concussed. I'm like, what are you doing? Anyhow, he wouldn't have it any other way, right? So, amen. Hey, well, listen, I want to encourage you today and tell you that with God, all things are possible. How many people know that's true? Come on. And I know he is at work in us. Do you know that? The Bible says he's both at work in us to work for his good pleasure in our lives. How many people believe he's at work in your life? Amen. Come on. You really believe that? Tell somebody, God is at work in me. Come on, tell someone next to you, God is at work in me. Come on, now tell them, God is at work at you, all right? They need to hear that, all right? And then, hey, I want to encourage everybody. We are in a marathon race. How many people know that? We are in a race, and it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, okay? And I just want to encourage you to keep going. Don't drop out of the race. I was in a race yesterday, a mini short sprint triathlon, and I wanted to drop out of the race because there's like a pretty big swim and a pretty big bike, and then there's a little run, but that's so deceiving because that run about noon was about 90 degrees, and Holy Spirit. I'm like, we could just take a break, but you know what? You get into these things and you get, anyhow, I got placed with all these guys that are like superstar guys. I have no idea why. And you're like trying to stay up with them. These guys are just passing you. Like why did I get, these guys are all 22. I'm like, I'm the old guy. They say, yeah, you're a fast old guy. That's why we put you in there. I'm like, no, put me in the wrong race, man. I don't know why it happens. Anyhow, it's to keep me humble. Thank you, Jesus, right? But 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 says, we're to run in such a way that we would what? Win. Are you with me? Come on, I knew that I wouldn't win yesterday, but I'm running like I'm going to win, right? Come on, I'm bicycling, and these guys are passing me. I'm like, I don't care how to do it. It's a little humbling, right? But you know there's this weird thing that happens in a marathon. You guys know about running at all, a little bit? There's this weird phenomenon called hitting the wall. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And this is really different for anybody and hitting a different place. Some people call it the bonk. You'll see some pictures of this condition. It happens to people, which is pretty scary. But it's really this sudden loss of energy. This whole fatigue comes on you. It's caused by the depletion of glycogen stores in the liver and the muscles and a whole bunch of other stuff medically that happens. But it's crazy. But what it basically happens is you lose all control of muscles, as you can see there. And if you've ever witnessed this firsthand, it is really scary. No, I mean, honestly, if anybody ever seen a person hit the wall in a race, it is totally scary. I saw my brother do this many years ago, and I was out there to cheer him on, and I'm telling you, this guy was in about the first 12 miles, he was in the top, what was it, about six or eight guys in this pack, and I'm like, oh, my brother's going to win this marathon, and then he hit the wall. Ooh, I thought I lost my brother for life. I thought I was going to, literally thought, I'm going to help him do everything for the rest of his life. It was that much loss of control. Seriously, right, Patty? It was like, oh, no, what's wrong? I was hitting the wall. I'm like, no, it isn't. Call the ambulance, all right? It is seriously, it freaks you out. So, all right, why am I talking about this, okay? Because I believe as we are on this journey with the Lord, many of us hit different types of walls, okay? Are you there? We hit all kinds of walls, right? And sometimes we just know we need to talk about it and describe it and how do we do this, all right? And we're told in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, run with endurance. Remember that word endurance. The race that is set before us. How many people need some endurance? I know I needed some yesterday, man. Ooh, okay, but so I'm going to go through some of those walls, and there's a ton of different walls we could talk about. I'm just going to talk about a few. Is that all right? So one of the first walls I believe most of us encounter is the mental wall. And you're like, the mental wall? Yeah, I believe this is a huge wall, and it's one of the huge walls that endurance athletes face, lots of athletes face, and I believe it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, all of us will face at different times in our lives. What am I talking about? I'm talking about our thoughts, our attitudes, our opinions. Delivers from our own opinions, right? Our imaginations, our all kinds of things like that. The Bible talks first, it says people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. I don't want to drop out of the race because I don't know something. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm in that race yesterday. I have to hydrate. I have to do some things along the way so I make it through, all right? Very same way in our own lives. We have to know some stuff, right? Hello? Come on, it's really nice to know I have tremendous power in my prayers. I didn't know when I got saved I could pray for coworkers and God can move in their lives, right? Come on, as a parent, I know that I know I'm the first line, my wife and I, first line of authority. When I pray for my kids, God moves on their behalf, right? How many people know what I'm talking about, all right? Come on. It's really good to know this book of promises is for me today, right now, right here, all right? And as I learn to appropriate them and apply them in my lives, I won't get destroyed when I hit walls, all right? Come on, real practical, right? This is really important, all right? It's really good to know that I can have power in prayer, that I have power when I lay hands on the sick, I pray and believe they'll be healed, and they are, all right? Are you there? Come on, it's really important we get this, to know the power of sharing the simple gospel. Sharing the simple gospel, telling people Jesus died for their sins, he rose from the grave, he took their sins in their life. Come on, you share that. The Romans 1 says there's a power of God is evident right there to change people's lives. When you share your simple testimony, how you got changed, I'm telling you there's power for that person to get saved. You seem so trite and so simple. It's a life-changing thing that's there. It's awesome, isn't it? Come on. I know we want to get this right. We want to get his thoughts, his attitude, his meant. If I could say the mind of Christ, the Bible talks about having this among us. All right? And I've observed a lot of people over the years that have dropped out of the race because of an opinion or an attitude or a bizarre thought. You're like, what are you thinking about? You know? Why am I telling this? Because we are bombarded with all kinds of current culture ideologies that aren't consistent with Jesus or the kingdom of God. Would you agree with that? And we need to talk to the TV sometimes. My kids thought we were nuts, and I was like, nope, that's not true. Turn that off. I'm like, Dad, really? It's the TV. I'm like, I don't care. I just want to let you know that we disagree with what is being spewed upon us, right? But there's this constant flow of thoughts and ways of thoughts that are constantly spewing upon us. It's unending, telling us that this is the way it is. And it's the bummer part about it is so many Christians just believe it. Go, I guess that's the way it is. And it's not. You need to say no, okay? I love what Paul writes to the Corinthians. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 14. He says, we're not to be children in our thinking. So one translation says, it says to be mature in our thinking. What do you mean children in our thinking? I mean, we don't just swallow everything up that's been told us. We're little children. Okay, whatever. We're not like that, is what he says. Don't be like that. Do you understand that? Why am I saying this? Because I'm telling you, in the middle of the race, it gets really hard. It gets painful. Okay, if you've been in any kind of athletic competition, there's pain involved, all right? I love what Josh said one day. Just running is just managing our pain. I was like, man, I remembered that yesterday about the second mile. I'm like, oh, I'm not managing really well right now. Okay? But it's easy to drop out, isn't it? Come on. People get married, have two or three children, and they get involved. Their job is long, or maybe they work two jobs. And the world says, just drop out. Do what works for you. Do what's comfortable for you. What about you? That's not the way it is. Come on. You made a covenant with that person. Stay with them. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Come on. Let's not drop out of the race because we don't know things, all right? I believe the mental wall is many times the strongholds that are hidden in our thought patterns, and we don't even recognize them. Do you know that? Come on. We don't identify them because we just chalk it up to, that's the way I am. That's God calling somebody, all right? There you go. We're not that way. All I know is I remember we read this book and we're supposed to be changed by it, right? Transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's what I'm talking about. Not just swallowing what the world tells us, right? The world said it's always on the flesh. It's always on the self. And that is so self-consuming. Do you know that? The mindset on the flesh is death, is what it says in Romans. The mindset on the spirit is life and peace, all right? Our attitude. Everybody say attitude. Our attitude in everyday life is huge. If you've got young adults or teenagers in your house, how many? You know you've dealt with attitudes. If you're an employer, you've dealt with attitudes, all right? We need to deal with our own attitudes, all right, in our everyday living. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. Check it out. Really familiar scripture. Most of you guys know this. It says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. I think this whole chapter was highlighted to me when I was given a Bible, honestly. Read this, remember, all right? Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind. Let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. That is not like the world, folks. Do you get that? All right? Don't merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed, verses 6 and 7, in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Isn't that wild? But he empties himself, takes the form of a bondservant, and he's made in the likeness of men. Isn't that powerful? Now, if he's saying, have this attitude, that whole discourse, that's what he's saying. Get a hold of this. Live here, folks. It changes. It'll affect people around you. Do you know that? Come on. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says we're to prepare our minds for action. Do you know this is one of the biggest things that an athlete does? Their mental preparation is huge. Do you know that? It's physical mental preparation for any athlete. It's like hours a day for years for Olympic athletes. They work and work up to a 30-second performance, 15-second execution. Isn't that crazy? I was reading about this Olympic diver the other day. This girl talked about she's diving from a platform that's 33 feet high. She's hitting the water at 30 miles an hour. You know what she says? She says 10% of it is physical. 90% of it is mental. Like, what? Are you kidding? She said, no, my body can do it. I got to get my mind to know that my body can do it. That's wild, isn't it? If you've ever trained with any, you know, competitive D1 athletes, it's crazy. I've seen athletes, they push them and push them and push them to a different level, okay? It's amazing. In the same way, we can prepare our minds for everyday life with God and with the world, all right? One of the most significant events that happened in the Bible, do you guys know what that is? Crossing the Jordan. Do you remember this? The story, it's like they're finally going to cross the Jordan, and it's crazy the preparation that God speaks to Joshua about. He doesn't say, hey, let's go run 5 miles a day with the army, practice throwing spears, let's get the crew out and practice rowing so we get across that Jordan. No, he says, you know what he says in verse 8? Go meditate in this word day and night. That's your preparation. That's pretty, like, you go back and go like, really? Like, do you have another plan here? There's a crazy land out there, supposedly with giants and all kinds of things. He says, yeah, go just meditate. Keep your head in this thing day and night. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Love that, isn't it? Come on, as we prepare our minds, I believe we won't be overwhelmed by the negative thoughts or a lack of confidence in God or a lack of focus on what is happening in the current moment. We won't get destroyed when we hit a wall, all right? This is vital to us pressing through the walls, guys, the mental wall. Remember when Jesus was being tempted by the devil? You guys know that? Remember the whole thing, driven into that thing, and the devil tempts him? He takes part of the word and he twists it to try to deceive Jesus. But Jesus, knowing the scriptures, rehearses back to him the full understanding of the word. It's awesome. It's really powerful. When I look at that, I think no wonder Paul writes to the young man Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, study, be diligent, so you're able to accurately handle the word. I don't want to get destroyed because I don't know this, and he's given it to me in how many different versions. And I've been collecting a whole bunch over the years. So I love the way God communicates it in different ways. All right? So, all right, we getting this? Come on. First wall is what? It's a mental wall. Second wall is this is the wall of injury. And I'm telling you, this is probably a huge one, but I mean avoiding, recovering from, continuing after, dealing with injuries, being hurt, all right? This is such a huge part of the life of an athlete. I had a crazy statistic the other day. They said 80% of all runners, like professional runners, runners that you see running in your neighborhood, people that you see trying to run in your neighborhood, that it's scary in my neighborhood. I got people like, man, I should get a go-kart or something or get them a scooter. Anyhow, it's great that they're out running. But they said 80% of runners, all runners across the board, suffer an injury once a year. Once a year, that's a lot of injuries, folks. I'm like going the wrong business. I want to go into running, healing runners. Anyhow, but it's weird, and most of them injure themselves. If you ever injure yourself, that's embarrassing, isn't it? I got into biking a few years ago, and I remember hitting this slick spot between a road and a bike path, and it was all mud, and I was airborne, and I put the sprocket into my ankle, and I told everybody it was the shark bite, because it looked just like a shark bite. It was just perfect. I'm like, I'm not going to tell people I wrecked my bike at 5:30 in the morning, no one's around. What are you, like, stupid? Anyhow, that's now you know, all right? It's not a shark bite. But injuring yourself, but in getting injured by others and hurt by others is huge. I was at a competition about 6 weeks ago in Philadelphia, and we're racking our bikes about 5:30 in the morning. This guy's about my age, and a stocky guy comes in. I said, hey, have you done these before? He said, oh, yeah, 6 years ago I did this race. I said, yeah, I haven't been back. He said, yeah, 6 years ago I was coming down this one hill, and you know, turns onto the straightaway, and we're all going mid-20-some, about 25 miles an hour, 20-some miles an hour. And he said, a guy lost control and hit him, flipped him over his handlebars. He broke his collarbone, dislocated his shoulder. He said, this is my first race I'm back. You know, and I'm like, and he's probably 55, 58, something like that. And I was really, it's important for me to say, now, where was that hill? I want to make sure I proceed with caution. Like, avoid the injury. Like, but I remember the hill coming down, and it's like this off this big, big grade, and everybody's gathering speed and getting very excited. So I was like, get away from everybody. But there's so many success stories about athletes coming back from injury that are very encouraging. How many people have ever heard of this man named Adrian Peterson? Great NFL running back. He tore his ACL and his MCL in a game. And totally crazy because they thought he could miss maybe one or two seasons. Some people forecast that he'd never return to be this great NFL running back that he is and or return at all because it was such a horrible injury. And it was crazy. Within a little less than 10 months of return for one of the best career seasons he's ever had, over 2,000 yards rushing, 12 touchdowns. He averaged 6 yards a game and 6 yards per carry, and he made it to the Pro Bowl. I think he recovered pretty well, wouldn't you agree? Crazy when you start looking at athletes. Or Giancarlo Stanton, you guys know who this guy is? Stanton, great MLB player. This guy got hit by a pitch in the face, and I think they said it was about an 88 or 89 miles an hour fastball. Got hit by hit in the face. He had facial fractures, lacerations, all kinds of dental damage. They said most MLB players would never even return to the batter's box. This guy came out the next season, the best start of a season he's ever had in his career, and he hit, I think it was 27 home runs and 67 RBIs in the first 70-some games. Amazing, isn't it? I think he recovered pretty well. It's hard not to, anyhow, I won't go there. But it's the potential. All of us have this potential to be hurt by someone. Do you know that? All of us have probably been hurt by someone, all right? And recovering from and coming back from being hurt is giant. It's huge, folks, all right? People are always going to hurt people. Knowingly and unknowingly and unintentionally, all right? I've had people come to me and say, man, I forgive you. I'm like, for what? And I had no clue. You hurt my feelings or you said this. And I'm like, oh, I need to be more sensitive, okay? Those were my kids saying that. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, but our businesses, our families, and our workplaces, I'm telling you, in our churches, we hurt each other, don't we? Come on, we've hurt each other. And I get like, but recovering from being hurt, it's a big deal. And I've watched people that never recover and they never get over it and they get stuck and they never continue in the race. I don't want to drop out of the race because I don't recover. Oh, yeah? Come on. One of the most unusual notes is when Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. Remember they said, teach us how to pray? And he goes through what we call the Lord's Prayer. And following that part of the Lord's Prayer, he repeats one major thing. And he talks about, forgive those. And he says, forgive and you'll be forgiven. He could have repeated everything, but he said, I'm just going to do this one. That's pretty important, isn't it? I thought, wow, check that out. I believe one of the major components of the whole Sermon on the Mount is about dealing with offense and relating to other people, getting it right in our relationships, right? And Jesus, he's the best example, isn't he, to us, all of us, about this, isn't he? Come on the cross made of wood from a tree he created. Do you know that? On a hill that he formed by a people that he breathed the very breath of life into, what happens? They crucify him. That's nuts, isn't it? Wrongly accused, falsely accused, wrongly judged, mocked and spit upon and disfigured beyond recognition. His response is, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Oh, that gets your attention, doesn't it? It makes everything else like, I'm good. I let any issue I go against somebody, all right? Come on, God, release grace to us. Come on, lift your hands. Lord, we just pray, release grace in this house for every one of us that have been hurt, that have been injured by others. God, release forgiveness. Supernatural, come on, in our lives, the power of you, Lord. Any odd in our hearts that we'd have against anybody, Father, I pray, let those things just supernaturally dissolve, amen? All right, you got that one? So injury's another one. Third wall is discouragement. And I believe this is a huge one. Discouragement can overwhelm us. If we continue to attempt to do something and fail at it, has anybody ever done that? You feel like, man, I've done this before. I've done this and I can't get past it. A habitual sin or some cycle something or something in your life. It's like, man, I can't get over this. It's horrible, isn't it? And I believe that many of us have worked at something and worked at it, unable to master it, it wrecks your heart. You get stuck in a place of, you can get stuck in a place of discouragement, right? Many of us set unrealistic goals. We don't reach these goals in a certain time, and I'm pretty intense about this. I didn't get this done in time. It's like, you can get discouraged, can't you? Some people say discouragement is worse than sickness. You've probably heard that before. Maybe it is, all right? You look in the Bible, there's a whole ton of people that were in discouragement, all right? Were terribly discouraged. A whole nation of people, entire generation were trying to go somewhere, and they never got to the place they've been told about. Do you know that? They never get to their dreamland. They never get to the place that was promised to them or prophesied to them. I talk about an epidemic of discouragement. Can you imagine coming in where they're just wandering and wandering around like, hey, where are you headed? We don't know. It's like some promised great place. That had to be crazy.
a spirit of discouragement had to just hang on them for a while. Don't you think? It's all through the Bible. How about Saul and his army when they're up against Goliath and the Philistines? I love what David comes running up to him and says, don't let anyone, in 1 Samuel 17, says, don't let anyone be discouraged by this guy. Your servant will go and fight him. David was just living in the prayer land. He's like, worship and pray, worship and pray, worship and pray. Hey, there's a battle, let's go. That's a good attitude, isn't it? It's like not backing down at all. I love when he says that. Don't let anybody get discouraged by this guy. Isn't that cool? Come on. I believe this is most of us are going to encounter this wall. Do you know that? We will, honestly. I remember I was 19 years old, got dismissed from a local college, and my mother had passed away 6 months before that. And I remember the whole dream part of my heart dissolving. What does that mean? I mean, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to become this. I disappeared, and it became into a dark place. It was horrible. Talk about discouragement. I was like, there's nothing else. I'm the first out of six kids. Hey, you're not really a student. Like, that's not good. You know what I mean? Because they're all like, they're getting degrees. My younger sister was a superstar. I'm like, oh, I'm a loser. No, I'm not. But I remember thinking like, God, this is brutal. Do you know what I mean? That whole dream part. But I thought, I can't even make it through school. How am I going to do this? And I believe there's so many of us get discouraged because we look at people around us. But I remember looking at everybody around with friends and siblings like, these guys are all doing something. I'm doing nothing. I'm stuck. And I just didn't have a next move. Do you know what I mean? And we'll talk about that a little bit. But I mean, when we compare ourselves with other people, that's a dangerous place to do. Don't do that. God's got his own plan, his own path for your life. All right? Did he use that place I was in? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, big time. More than you know. Because there's always someone. When you start looking around and comparing yourselves, there's always someone smarter, stronger, faster, doing something you might aspire to do, but it gets like, I'm not doing anything here, right? It's the one key thing they train Olympic athletes not to do is to look around. There's this famous picture, and I don't have it, but there's this famous picture of Michael Phelps doing a butterfly, and this guy's beside him, and the guy's coming out of the water looking at Michael Phelps. And they say, that's what you're not supposed to do, because he was worried about where he was instead of just doing his own race. Isn't that wild? So I want to encourage you. Come on. I want to encourage you the good news. I want to tell you that God is drawn to those who are in discouragement. If you're in discouragement today, I'm telling you, grab a hold of the next few of these words, okay? Psalm 34, 18. In the Good News Bible with the little stick figures, that one works for me. It says, the Lord is near to those who are discouraged. He's near to those who are discouraged. That helps, doesn't it? He saves those who have lost hope. Oh, love it, don't you? Check out this scripture, Isaiah 57, 15. You might not have heard this in this translation, but it says, for this is what the high and exalted one says. Isaiah 57, 15. The one who rules forever, whose name is holy. I dwell in an exalted and holy place, but also with the discouraged and humiliated, in order to cheer up the humiliated and to encourage the discouraged. Isn't that awesome? He's come to encourage the discouraged. Man, if you're in that category, you're a prime target here, baby. He's like right there for you. Do you know that? Isn't that great? 20 times we are told directly these four words, do not be discouraged. 20 times throughout the Bible, God speaks to his sons and daughters and says, do not be discouraged. Man, if you've ever worked with a small child or a teenager trying to do something, the biggest thing is loud, say, don't get discouraged, all right? Come on. Why? Because discouragement gets you stuck in a place where you can't see the next move, as I was saying earlier. I remember 19 and I couldn't see the next move. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm like, I have no avenue. I have no next part of my life. I remember helping coach basketball when our boys were little, elementary age, and I remember training them, next play. What does that mean? When they messed up, when they lost the ball, when they knew they blew it, little kids, oh, I just blew it. And they start walking off the court, like, no, 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 the game's still going on. Don't stop playing. Next play. And I remember that being such a mantra with kids, like, next play, pay attention, because they lose a whole bunch if they get discouraged and stuck. They won't perform, they won't play. We used to say, next play, keep going on next. And I believe a lot of us need to hear that. Next play. What's the next move, all right? And there, I know it's a real simple example, but it's an example of having a vision, lifting our head, saying, God, what do you have for me? Where are you leading me, all right? The scripture I quoted at the beginning, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, let us run with endurance the race that's set it before us. I want to read the next two verses here. Are you guys okay? Verses 2 and 3, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says, for consider him. So it says, consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. Why? So you won't grow weary and lose heart. That's the whole reason I'm considering him. I don't want to grow weary and lose heart. I'm in this race. I'm in this marathon. I'm going to consider him. It's huge. It's the greatest thing you can do when you get discouraged is what? Fix your eyes on Jesus. It's the greatest thing you can do. I'm telling you, get discouraged, man. I'm just going to get with God. God, I've just got to fill up my thoughts, my vision, my heart with you. All right? It's what David did. Remember when he fought the Amalekites? These guys came and wiped out his, they burned his city to the ground, took his wives, he had a few of them, took his sons and daughters, kidnapped them all. And the whole army comes back and they just weep and they weep and they weep. So they said they couldn't weep anymore. But then it's this great verse, 1 Samuel chapter 30, the verse 6 and the last part of the King James. It says, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Isn't that awesome? David encouraged him. He got alone with God and said, God, I'm going to delight myself in you. I know you've got a plan for my life. We're going to do this. And then he asked the Lord, should I go and get him? And he said, yeah, go get them all. He went and recovered everything. If you read the story, it's awesome. He could have gotten stuck right there. He said, no, what's next, God? Isn't that good? Are you with me? One more wall. We okay? Yeah. I know. We're staying with me. Stay with me. Sinking off the coffee, all right? Wall of exhaustion, all right? Being overwhelmed. I'm telling you, when you hit this wall of exhaustion, I'm not just talking about being tired. I'm talking about being exhausted. It affects every part of your life. And some of the young families and young parents in this room, you know what I'm talking about. I have a PhD in exhaustion, okay? I could teach you some things, all right? My wife might have 2 degrees, all right? If you're a parent of small children, you get it, all right? But I mean, you're so shot at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you can't even focus. It's all fuzz. Anybody ever experienced that? Come on, you've got a few nights a week that you can't sleep because you're so stressed about everything you have to do, all right? Come on, it's crazy. You have no regard for anything you're eating. You just eat whatever's in front of you because it's convenient and it's fast. You know what I'm talking about? I'm telling you, I've lived in that land, right? But why am I saying this? Because our current culture tells us you got to have everything and you got to have it now and you got to do this and you got to do this, got to do this. You can say, wait a minute. I'm not living according to the current culture, the pop culture. Do you know that? Come on, I know we live in this globalized society. We got everything instantly, which is really amazing. People text me when I'm speaking. That's crazy. Anyhow, good job. Mention that again. Seriously. I get those. Like, what am I going to do? Hey, I'm out. But we live in this weird culture, don't we? Come on. You're exhausted so much, man. I'm telling you. I know people that they lose sleep because they got to stay up on their Instagram feed. Like, really? Really? Don't you go to sleep. I think it'll be there tomorrow. But I won't be caught up. Really? You need to take a break. Put this thing down. I just didn't challenge you. Take a break for a day from your phone. I could do that. You know, what about my social status? Really? I think God can handle your social status, right? I'm telling you, man. All right? I want to encourage you. If you're in a place of exhaustion, take a moment and stop and figure out what changes you need to make. If you're doing the same thing over and over and you're still exhausted, you might need to make some changes, okay? We did this really clearly. Marcy and I really, you know, it wasn't until after our third child, we're like, you know what? We may not be able to go 180 miles an hour. We might have to slow down. After our fourth child, we're like, time out. I mean, honestly, we looked and said, we sat down and said, what can we reduce? What can we eliminate? What can we do to simplify our lives so we can do the things that God wants us to do? Did we want to do all the things we were doing in our youth ministry at the time? Absolutely. But we stopped saying yes to everything. We said yes to the important things. Okay? I remember a season in our life, there was a ton of weddings, and I was always asked to do them because the kids were leaving the youth ministry and graduating and getting married. And I remember going to Marcy, like, you don't have to go to the 18th wedding, okay? You could stay home with the children. Really? But there's that expectation, like, I have to do this and I have to do this. No, you don't, okay? We just couldn't do it all, right? So we pulled back from stuff. Why? Because we wanted to raise children, godly children. We wanted to have joy in our family instead of panic and exhaustion all the time, all right? I was in a season of leading mission trips all through the 90s, and Eastern Europe opened up into Hungary and Austria and the Czech Republic and Bulgaria, and I'm like, I'm going to go save the nations. And I remember, come on, Marcy. She's like, no, this isn't the time for me to do that. We have 2 in school and 2 not in school. This would not be blessing and grace in our family. So he chose not to do that. People are like, don't you want to minister together? Yes, of course we want to do ministry together, but maybe not in this season. You know, everybody has these grandiose ideas. Maybe it's just not the way it works. So she began to live in Miniwave, and that was her deal for a good decade. I'm going to pray for every little child that comes in this place. You know what I mean? That's the grace. Are you there? Come on, adjusting your schedule. We adjusted some things in our own household. Okay, you do laundry. I won't do laundry anymore. I'll do this. Simple, basic stuff that make. Why do we do this? Because we want to raise godly children. We want to love God. We had to set some limitations, all right? Remember the time when the young adults came to Marcy, did you guys want to hang out and go out and be with the kids? And we said, yeah, we do, but we'd rather hang out with our children at home because God gave us them to raise, all right? Not somebody else. All right? That may seem harsh, but we're like, no, this is the main thing in our lives right now, okay? Come on, it's the season we're in. All right? So I want to encourage you, if you hit this wall of exhaustion, take some time. Do some inventory. Look at what you're doing. Look at how you're doing it. Really practical to do this, all right? We live in a culture. I bet half of us in this room are exhausted all the time. We're like, wait, we don't need to live this way, okay? Take some time. Take some inventory. And be thankful. Say, God, thank you. It says give thanks and everything. God, I'm thank you for what you give me right now. Thank you for what I'm involved in right now, right? A couple of really important things to deal with exhaustion. I love, and it's the good news. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Many of you guys are familiar with this. This is, get this, baby. It's just a word for a lot of people here this morning. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn from me. Learn from me. God, teach us to keep learning from you. Amen? For I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find what? Rest for your souls. Anybody need rest for their soul right now? Because my burden's light. I love that. Come on, if you've hit the wall of exhaustion, come to him. Secondly, if you're exhausted, there's this supernatural thing called grace. It's awesome, guys, grace. It's not just making you feel better for a few moments, all right? His grace is sufficient for me. No, I'm talking about his grace is sufficient for you. It'll strengthen you. It'll bring peace in your life, peace that you're looking for, all right? His grace enables us to stay in step with what he has for our lives, not the world has for our lives, all right? Come on, I love where his name is described in all different ways, and you guys know them, Yahweh this and Yahweh that, but God, the Lord is our peace. Come on, the Lord's our righteousness. The Lord is the one who makes me holy. The Lord is the one who leads and guides me into all the truth. He's the Lord, our banner over me is love, right? Come on, we've shouted some of this stuff over and over. Last scripture here, I believe, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It says, but by his doing, I don't know if you've ever seen this one, but by God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us, what? Wisdom from God. We need wisdom when we hit the wall, don't we? And righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, just as written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Now, at the beginning of this message, I mentioned Hebrews chapter 12, mentioned a few times. It says, run with endurance. If you don't get anything else, get this part. Remember with endurance. And the endurance is the ability to persevere when we hit the wall. Come on. How many people need endurance? I need perseverance. Yesterday in that race, I needed perseverance. Last mile, I'm like, thank God for all kinds of people cheering you on. Yeah, you can do it. I'm like, I need oxygen. It's the same way in our own walk with God. Come on. We need people to cheer us on. All right? We need him. We need his grace. We need his endurance, his perseverance when we hit walls, all right? So if you're exhausted today, if you're discouraged, if you've been injured, he can heal you, all right? If you've been hurt by others, and there's a whole bunch of people who have been hurt. I know I've been hurt in all kinds of ways and hurt people. If you've hit the mental wall, you're like, I'm there, man. I'm telling you, we want to pray with you, all right? Come on, let's all stand. We'll worship for a little bit, and we'll let you get out of here and pray. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. God, we just lift your hands one more time. God, we worship you this day. God, we just pray your grace release to wash over lives today. God, those that have hit walls of exhaustion or injury, Father, been hurt by people, Father, discouragement. God, we pray you would meet them here today. We pray these words would bring encouragement to life. Thank you, Lord. God, we just worship you. And ministry team, we just invite everybody, if you want prayer for any of these areas or anything we didn't talk about, you just want prayer. We'd love to pray with you before you get out of here. Amen. So we believe in the power of prayer, laying hands on you, connecting to you. We want to agree with you and see God move in your life so you get past the walls. Amen. Amen. Take a hand next to you. Bless someone. God, we just thank you for all around this room, Father. Release life, 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 God. God, we pray this week we go and shine like the sun in the midst of a dark world, God, and bring life and hope wherever we go. God, thank you for your words of life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You're dismissed. Enjoy the week. Ministry team, come on up. Man, we'd love to pray with everybody and anybody. Amen.